Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. 2020 was a deadly year in the U.S. The homicide rate rose 30% in 34 of America's biggest cities. Cincinnati broke records with 94 homicides by year's end. The Cincinnati Police Department broke another record for the most guns recovered in a single year. Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac points out that in 2020, the U.S. produced more firearms than any other year on record. In fact, background checks for handgun purchases were up 80% in June during the height of the racial justice protest. Experts point to fears over the pandemic and protest as driving millions of Americans to make those purchases at a record pace. Police and local community leaders hope to reverse this violent trend in this year, 2021. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss crime prevention efforts and the lasting trauma caused by this spike in violent crime are Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac. He's on the phone with us. Chief Isaac, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for having me.
Chief, we're glad to have you. And I know we had some technical difficulties at the top of the show. Originally, this segment was supposed to be first with the Mars Rover segment following, and it looks like we have a different guest joining us and Chief Isaac. And instead of Sheila Narod from the Trauma Recovery Center, the coordinator there, we have Lillian Carr, who's joining us, an advocate there with Victims of Crime Program. Lillian, you're on the phone with us as well. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you so much for having me. Good last minute.
Yes, we're glad that you could express that perspective for us and the impact on people that some of this violent crime we've experienced in the past years had. Just to be clear, are you with the Trauma Recovery Center, or is Victims of Crime Program separate from that?
We're separate and we're together. We're all part of the same service. The Trauma Center also works with Victims of Crime, but on a different level.
Understood. Okay, Lillian, hang tight. We're going to come back to you momentarily to talk a little bit about the work that you do and how you advocate with some of these victims, a record number of victims and their families over the past year. Chief Isaac, let's start with you. In the setup to this conversation, you heard me say some of the perspective that you've already offered, that we saw an increase in guns being produced. Obviously, 2020 was a very stressing and unique year with both the pandemic and what's been characterized as a reckoning on racial justice. We saw large-scale protests here in the city. Would you mind elaborating a little bit on, you know, from your law enforcement perspective, what drove this spike in deadly violence in our city?
Well, you know, I think it was a combination of things, not just one thing. But one of the things I want to begin with is the record numbers of homicides that we saw in 2020, and not just the homicides, but the shootings. We saw 486 shootings take place in our city, a number that we hadn't seen since 2006 and the years prior because of a lot of the work that's been done. I think, and also, you know, to see those numbers in 2020, that is coming after the years that we saw significant reduction. In 2017, 2018, 2019, we saw some of the lowest numbers of violent crime and shootings than we had seen in more than 20 years. And I believe that's a combination of factors. But getting into 2020, I think, you know, you look at the pressures of the pandemic, you know, people having suffered job loss, the anxiety around that, being just removed from their norm. Then we talked about just the amount of guns that have been introduced into our community, people with a desire to protect themselves, and then also other individuals with a desire to take advantage of this opportunity. And I think what really is a big impact to it is just a lack of consequences. I'm not speaking of nonviolent offenders. I'm certainly not an advocate of warehousing and locking up people for nonviolent crimes. But individuals that commit homicide, that inflict violence upon individuals, we have to have stiff consequences for those individuals.
Chief Isaac, as far as those guns go, the record number that were recovered last year by the Cincinnati Police Department. You made a note previously in some of the stories that I've seen reporting, including by WVXU reporter Jolene Almendarez, that These aren't guns that were sold illegally, necessarily. Most of the guns recovered were legally purchased, but on behalf of someone else or stolen. Is that right?
Well, you know, and that's a big issue, because I'm commonly asked, how are these firearms introduced into our community, particularly the communities that are impacted most by violent crime? And what we are seeing is these are legally purchased firearms that are, one, individuals have left them in their vehicles and they're stolen from their vehicles, or they're left in their places of business or in their homes and they're being subject to theft from a breaking and entering, or individuals that are legally allowed to purchase firearms and they're passing them on to individuals that have criminal records and that are not legally allowed to have firearms. And there's quite a bit of that going on that we attempt to address through our efforts as well.
We're talking with Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac about last year's record number of homicides and record number of gun confiscations that were done by the Cincinnati Police Department. Chief, when I think back to the earlier parts of the pandemic, we remember seeing very empty highways, empty business districts. People were primarily staying home. We saw some exceptions with some illegal street parties that gained some local media traction. As the lockdown eased a bit, we saw more people start to go out into the streets. Was there any particular period of last year that saw more of these shootings, these deadly shootings, take place?
Well, you know, we always see the summer months are difficult. There's a challenge with violent crime. Obviously, when the weather's nice, there are more people out, there are more interactions. And what we find is a lot of these interactions are just sudden disputes, where an individual has a firearm in their possession or a firearm in close proximity that results in a shooting or a homicide because of a minor argument. So I would say definitely you see an increase in the summer months, but 2020 was a bit unique. What we saw is, a dramatic increase in some of these house parties, some of these spur-of-the-moment parties that popped up that we weren't aware of or don't have the normal controls that, say, a bar or some other establishment might have. And we saw, you know, the impact of that. One of the unique things that we saw this year, and I don't have an explanation for, is we saw a number of multiple homicides where an individual might have shot two or three people at one time, or an individual that we had a couple of individuals that took the life of two or three people at a given time. So those also impact, you know, the number of homicides that we see this past year.
Chief Isaac, I thought it was interesting that other crimes appeared to be reduced in 2020. So we didn't see as many other types of crimes outside of these terrible, deadly, violent ones. Is that typical in years where you see high homicide rates in the city? I know it can fluctuate sometimes. Is that unusual or did you expect that?
No, certainly not expected. This year was 2020 was unique to anything that we had ever seen before. We certainly didn't anticipate. We make plans every year for how we're going to address violent crimes, but we certainly didn't anticipate policing in a worldwide pandemic, and we certainly didn't anticipate the after effects of worldwide civil protest and civil unrest. I think all of those things impact the dynamics, and it created a year that many cities across the country were challenged in a way that we've never seen before.
That's Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac. Chief Isaac, hang tight. We're going to come back to you momentarily. We're also joined on the phone by Lillian Carr, an advocate for victims of crime. Lillian, would you mind telling us a little bit about what that means, what it means to be an advocate for victims of crime?
Well, I work with us at Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses, which is in the heart of the West End. And our program is about 20, 25 years old. And I'm a victim. I personally work with families of victims of homicide and domestic violence. And so we do a lot. We do a lot with the victims and their families. We go to court with them, and we support them in any way we can in terms of the criminal justice system. A lot of these victims have never. I mean, they're victims, so they're not necessarily familiar with the court system. So we kind of brief them on what's going to go on at court, and we stand up with them to give them moral support. We also we can talk to the prosecutor and the detectives that are on them that are investigating their cases. We have short-term and long-term counseling, so we try to support the victims in that aspect because there's a lot to victimization, and that's where the trauma center comes in because a lot of the victims are very traumatized by what has happened to them. And I myself, I think it was in April, was a victim of a crime. Someone shot through my window. I was lying in bed, and someone just at random just shot through my window. And so I understand at firsthand being traumatized and victimized. And so I'm, you know, we're there for the victim.
Well, Lillian, let me ask you, because, you know, you just noted something very frightening. I mean, to be lying in bed and to have a bullet come through your window.
Yes.
I mean, what was your response to that? I mean, how were you, what did you do?
Well, it happened so quickly. I mean, I heard the shots, but I was sure that they were gunshots. They were like maybe four in succession. And I didn't know what to do, so I just lay there for a minute. Then when I heard a car speed away, so I looked out of the window. I'm my bedroom was on the second floor of Main Street in Roseline. And so I looked out the window. I didn't see anybody. I didn't see anything, as a matter of fact. But I was watching TV, and all of a sudden my TV went out, and just, you know, it was just like I said, everything happened so fast. And I couldn't put it together. Because I looked at the window, I didn't see any shattered glass, no broken, you know, no bullet holes or anything. So I just kind of was frozen. Then I took another look around, and I looked at my ceiling, and I saw something on the ceiling that just didn't make any sense. So I called Cincinnati. I called Cincinnati Police Department, and someone did come out, and I showed him the ceiling. So we determined that someone had shot through the wall, so it came just above the window.
Did you find that, were you targeted in a shooting, or was this an accident, or
well,
were you?
No, we don't believe so. We just believe it was random. Hello?
Yes, we're still with you, Lillian.
Yeah, we just believe that it was a random shooting, or
okay,
that they may have, you know, got my house mixed up with another house.
Okay, well, we know that 2020 was a challenging year in so many ways, and that wasn't anything that anybody wants to deal with, to have their own home shot up. We also want to express just such sadness for all of our fellow neighbors who lost loved ones in a very deadly year in a variety of ways, but particularly through the pandemic and some of this deadly gun violence. We're going to talk a little bit about the connections with Chief Isaac and the Cincinnati Police Department, along with these victim advocacy organizations and those advocates like Lillian Carr, who's with us on the phone. We're going to take a short break and continue this conversation just ahead. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I am Michael Monks. We're joined today by Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac, who's on the phone with us. Chief Isaac, thank you for sticking around with us.
Absolutely.
We also have with us Lillian Carr. She's a victim advocate, and she works with those who have been victims of crime and is associated with an organization in the west end, in the west side of town. And Chief Isaac, let me turn back to you. We saw this year, 2020, so deflating emotionally for people, but obviously a deadly year for people due to the pandemic and also this violence that we suffered in the city of Cincinnati. What do you do now as a police department? How do you evaluate the circumstances of such a unique year and try to apply them to reduce similar actions in this year?
You know, I think the key for us is to continue to build upon the partnerships that we have. As I mentioned, we saw record reductions prior to 2020 in 17, 18, and 19, and I believe that is largely due to the partnerships. We can't do anything without the help and the support of the community. We continue to see a good amount of support there, and we feel that, and it makes a difference. I think as we come out of this pandemic, I think people come back to some of the normal activities that they will engage in. They will naturally be our eyes and ears out there. They'll be that presence that they normally are. That also helps mitigate a lot of this. And then we continue to build upon the work that we do. You mentioned some of the work. We have a great partnership with Ms. Carr and her team over at the Seven Hills Neighborhood House. We also have our own social worker on staff, our values unit, our victims assistance liaison unit, where they also respond out with our homicide investigators to offer support to victims and their families when they suffer trauma of any kind. We also have a very long-held and deep relationship with Women Helping Women and the DIVERT program. As we've seen a significant increase in violent crime against women this past year, and something that we want to continue to build upon.
We did recently feature that story here at Cincinnati Edition, Women Helping Women. We also featured Cincinnati Police Department's victims liaison, Karen Rumsey, on a recent program and had a very fascinating conversation. In addition to those partnerships, Chief Isaac, your department has created this gun crime task force, which is, that was announced, I think, late last summer. What can you tell us about any progress that's been made on that front?
You know, they've done a significant amount of work. We really needed to focus our efforts and try to impact the violent crime that was taking place. The real interesting part there is just the amount of guns that they've confiscated. Even going into this year, just the first 6 or 7 weeks of this year, they've confiscated 99 guns, almost 100 guns in the first 7 weeks of this year. And we're building upon that. We're going to be, and I talked about this with the council, I believe our next logical step is to establish a crime gun intelligence center. And that's a partnership that we're working on with the ATF. It's an interagency collaboration where we will be focusing on all aspects of gun crime, collection of evidence, the analysis of guns in a real-time effort that we can disrupt any criminal activity to hopefully prevent future violence and identify those that are involved in it. So that is something that we are working on and establishing right now, that we hope to have up and running early this summer or late this spring, hopefully by May, so that we're ready for the warmer months, that we can really impact, what the challenges that we know will come.
So, Chief, you just said, I mean, we have almost 100 guns confiscated here in the city with already this year, 7 weeks in?
Correct.
So,
please
go ahead, Chief.
Sorry. No, I was just saying that really goes back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier in the conversation. It's just the amount of guns that are out there. By no means am I anti-gun. I'm a military veteran. I'm a career law enforcement officer. But I think it's important that we also reiterate the importance of people securing those firearms and making sure that that everyone is accountable if they choose to own and possess a firearm. You know, we have to make sure that these guns don't get introduced out onto the street where they're being utilized in gun crime. So I believe that's where our attention and our focus is going. We're further enhancing our relationship with the ATF to really move in that direction.
I'm imagining with just 7 weeks into the year that the investigations around these guns confiscated so far in 2021 are preliminary, but are you finding in general that they are connected to similar circumstances as last year where, as we discussed moments ago, the guns were purchased legally on behalf of someone or stolen after being purchased legally?
I think we're seeing a pretty even split. Some are stolen, some are purchased legally, and they are what we call straw purchases. They are again sold illegally, which makes them an illegal gun when they're sold illegally to someone who's not allowed to be in possession of a firearm. They're under some type of disability for prior criminal offenses or some other means that prohibits them from owning a firearm.
Chief Isaac, I understand that it was a pretty significant increase in violent crimes in Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's story was not unusual nationwide. 2020 brought an increase in violence in a lot of similarly sized cities, thinking about Milwaukee, that saw its homicide count nearly double, more than double, actually. Louisville saw similar circumstances, doubling just about. Are there communications between chiefs like you in similarly sized cities about how to address this?
Absolutely. Just this last week, we had a virtual conference of the Major City Chiefs Association. There were the 69 largest police departments in the nation where we talked about these issues specifically and some of the efforts and strategies that we will be utilizing to address this. Also, the FBI director spoke to the association as well, and there's an emphasis nationwide on addressing this increase in violent crime. So I think you're going to see most cities moving to do whatever they can to try to mitigate this.
And we were also joined today by Lillian Carr, who advocates on behalf of victims through Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses. And Lillian, we just have about a minute left, and I want to make sure that I bring you back in. After a year like last year where we saw so much violent crime, how are your organizations preparing and responding so early in a new year? Is there optimism that things will improve, or are you preparing for a similarly destructive year?
Well, we're very optimistic that things are going to improve. Again, Chief Isaac and I have had a relationship, and we just recently, within the last 2 weeks, met with some officers from District 1, and we are partnering with them, and it's going to be, I'm looking forward to a better year, a much better year. We've also stepped up our training with our staff as well, and we've been having meetings with the community. So we're just hoping that that we won't see the same amount of violence this year as last year, and as a matter of fact, much less.
That's Lillian Carr, a victim advocate at Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses, also a victim of crime herself last year when her window was was shot up. We've also been joined today on the phone by Cincinnati Police Chief Elliot Isaac. Chief Isaac, I hope you can come back on the program again as we continue to monitor the year ahead and policing in general and other issues that emerge as this year progresses. We're all hoping for a better year.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Thanks, Chief, and thanks to you, Lillian.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening to Cincinnati Edition today. Little messed up at the beginning there, where we had to get some technical difficulties corrected and switch some segments around, but we managed to get through it together, and we appreciate you staying with us for that. If you want to hear a replay of the Mars Rover program to learn about what's happening in outer space, you can check that out online at wvxu.org at your convenience. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.